Today, I want to share with you a thought. The Messiah has come. The Messiah has come. The Daily Walk asked this question. How well do you know the Old Testament? How well do you know the Old Testament? You know, there was a generation that came up a number of years ago that I know my dad was part of that generation, that they pretty much read the Psalms, you know, and really enjoyed that a lot. But there wasn't a lot of preaching on the Old Testament so much. But we've changed that over the years, and because it's so important to have a working knowledge of the old so that you see what is revealed in the new. And so it's a great question. How well do you know the Old Testament? Well, you'll quickly discover the key to unlocking the New Testament is a foundational knowledge of the Old Testament in order to persuade his fellow Jews to believe in Jesus as their long-awaited King and Messiah. Matthew used the Old Testament as proof that this really is the Messiah. The Messiah has come. Four Gospels, obviously, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Two written by actual disciples of Jesus, Matthew and John. But Mark and Luke, not the original 12 disciples, not a part of that group. Mark is a young guy, worked with Paul and Barnabas for a short time. Later worked with Paul as well after a number of years. And then, of course, Luke writing to his friend Theophilus. And so, you know, we look at these four Gospels telling the life story of Jesus. And the three at the beginning, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we know as the Synoptic Gospels. They tell pretty much the same story from different personalities and different audiences. And then John, about 93% of his gospel is brand new stuff. It's all new. We've talked about this before. But Matthew is speaking to a Jewish audience, and he's trying to prove to them that Jesus really is their long-awaited Messiah. And so he uses the Old Testament, obviously, which is what he had. He used that to bring out this really is the guy. The Daily Walk continues. What was anticipated in the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi, now arrives in the first book of the New Testament, which we just talked about, the book of Matthew. And that is the Messiah of God is now going to be revealed. He must come from the kingly line. It was a requirement from the Old Testament that the Messiah will come from the kingly line, and Jesus does. He must bear the name of royalty, and Jesus' name means God saves. He must be worthy of worship, and magi from the east travel a great distance to kneel before him and pay homage. He must be a light to the Gentiles. He must be announced by a forerunner. He must demonstrate power over Satan, demons, disease, and death. And Jesus does all this and so much more. Truly, the Messiah has come. He fulfilled all of those requirements and so many more that we're not going to talk about this morning. But I want us to look for just a few minutes this morning at some prophetic scriptures that we know that Jesus did fulfill. I want us to go to Isaiah chapter 7 and verse number 14. Most of these are going to be very, very familiar to us. We use them throughout the Christmas season. But Isaiah 7:14 says this, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign." The Bible in the context there, God was telling the king, says, "Ask me for a sign," is what God was saying to the king. "Ask me for a sign and I'll give it to you." And he says, "But here's the sign that I'm going to give you. The Lord himself is going to give you this sign. The virgin is going to be with child and will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel, God with us." Just everything we sang about this morning in those choruses, Emmanuel, God with us. Again, God has always wanted to be with his people. He said, "I'm going to dwell among them. I'm going to be their God, and they're going to be my people." Jesus came to live among his people. In the Message Bible, Eugene Peterson puts it like this, Jesus came and he moved into the neighborhood. And that's exactly what he did. He moved into the neighborhood of Nazareth, into the home of the carpenter, the local carpenter, and his young lady that was pledged to be married to him, as we know. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7 tell us this: "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he, Jesus, this Messiah, will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end." There will be no end to his reign, no end to his government, no end to the peace that Messiah will bring. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Only God could do it, and we know that he has done this. Micah writes in chapter 5, "But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are small among the clans or the rulers of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times." Another translation, from times of eternity. The one, again, the sinless Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world. And he goes on, verse 4, "He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely. For then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth." And I love this line. "And he," Jesus, "will be their peace." He will be their peace. I love that portion there, that he's the one, when the Messiah comes, he will stand, he's going to shepherd his flock. What was Jesus' message in John chapter 10? "I am the good shepherd. My sheep know my voice, and they follow me because they know me." And so in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord is God, he says, they will live securely. You and I today can live securely in the midst of an unstable world, in the midst of all kinds of stuff going around us, politically, morally, all the sickness that we've dealt with, all the junk going on. We can live securely in Jesus, and his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. And Jesus has become our peace. When he comes into our hearts, into our lives, he is our peace, and he's broken down every wall. He is the Prince of Peace. Hosea chapter 11, verse 1 says this: "Out of Egypt I have called my son." That's another prophecy that Jesus fulfilled when Messiah came, is that there was a dream, you remember, that the angel came to Joseph and said, "Flee to Egypt with the child and his mother," you know, because Herod is going to try to come and kill this child. And so that's what they did. And so out of Egypt, God brought them back. The angel, whenever Herod had died, after he had passed, the angel said, the one that was seeking the boy's life is no longer alive. Come back home. So out of Egypt, I've called my son. Then Zechariah 10:4 says, "From Judah will come the cornerstone." From Judah will come the cornerstone. The key word there, obviously, is cornerstone. And in Matthew 21:42, Jesus himself quotes Psalm 118, which is the prophetic word about this, verses 22 and 23. And he says this in Matthew 21:42, "Jesus said to them, 'Have you never read in the scriptures? The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone or the cornerstone.'" Jesus is that cornerstone. The Messiah would be that cornerstone, the one the builders rejected. He came to his own, but his own received him not. But to as many as did receive him, to them he gave the power to become the sons and daughters of God. We are children of God, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. He, Jesus, has become this capstone, this cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Praise God. The Lord has done this, and it's marvelous in our eyes. I want us to talk just a minute about some of the words that are used in Scripture in regards to the Messiah. The word Mashiach is actually the Hebrew, and the word Christos is actually the Greek. Both of those words mean anointed one, anointed one. And so you're going to see there's not much usage of Mashiach or Messiah in Scripture, but Christ is used a lot, obviously, and that is translated as anointed one. But a little interesting fact, the word Messiah is found only once in the King James Version of the Old Testament, and it's in Daniel chapter 9. In that same chapter in the New International Version, the word used is anointed one. So again, means the same thing. Mashiach, Messiah, Christos, it's all anointed one, and it can be the Messiah as well. In the New Testament, the NIV version, in John 1:41 and also John 4:25, the word Messiah is actually used in the NIV. However, in the New Testament, the King James Version, the word Messias, not A-H, but A-S, is used. It's the Greek form of Messiah, the Greek form of Messiah. And it's Messias. It's the only place that that's used. And so let's look at John 1:41. And it's the story where Andrew has already met Jesus and is believing him to be the Messiah already. And he goes to find his brother, Simon Peter. And so in John 1:41, Andrew tells his brother, Simon Peter, "We have found the Messiah. We have found the Messiah." And then in John 4:25, this is the story of Jesus and the woman at the well. And he begins to read her mail, knows exactly her past. He knows her present condition, that she's not married, she's living with someone. And so this woman at the well tells Jesus in John 4:25, "I know that Messiah is coming." So even this Samaritan woman, she's part Jew and part from Samaria. She's, in those days, a half-breed, looked down upon. You know, a Jew would not even speak to a Samaritan, certainly wouldn't drink after a Samaritan like Jesus does with her getting water from her. But this woman says, "I know the Messiah is coming, and when he comes, he's going to explain everything to us." We know the story. Jesus went on to tell her, "The one that you're speaking to, I am that Messiah that you've been waiting for." And as he tells her her story, and as he speaks to her and asks her questions and goes more deeply into her life, she recognizes this guy is a prophet, and she believes in him as the Messiah. And she goes and tells the whole town all about the man she met at the well. And they come, and he spends actually a few days there because of her testimony about him. And they, at the end of that time that Jesus had been there, they tell the woman, "You know, we not only believe because of what you said, but we've listened to him, and now we believe that he's the Messiah that was to come as well." So just an interesting story there, that the word Messiah used in just those two verses in the New Testament of the NIV version. Jim Showers is with a ministry to the people of Israel and the Jewish people around the world. Jim Showers says this: "Jesus, the name God chose for his only begotten Son, communicated his identity and his purpose." And here's how. "He is God, and he is the only one who can save us. In naming him, God gave his Son unparalleled power." And we sang about it this morning from Philippians 2, verses 9 through 11. And Paul writes, "God also has highly exalted him," Jesus, "and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Jesus is worthy of all of this because he was willing to come and give his life as a ransom for us. He was willing to come and be born in Bethlehem's manger, be born in a cave, be placed in a feeding trough, and be wrapped in swaddling clothes, grave clothes that foretold what was going to happen in the future. And so because of his obedience, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on the cross, Paul says. And so he becomes this name that is highly exalted and is above every name that will ever be. In naming Jesus, God also gave the world a continual reminder of the significance of his only begotten Son. Jesus is the seed of the woman. He's also the Son whom God promised would redeem us and crush the head of the great serpent. Genesis 3:15, the first mention of Messiah that is to come in Scripture. And that's where Moses wrote that the Messiah would crush the head of the serpent, the snake, Satan. On the night of Jesus' birth, also, the angel Gabriel told the shepherds, a Savior has been born in David's city, who is Christ the Lord. And even though, as we just said about that name, one day everyone bowing before it, at that time when he came the first time, few bowed or confessed Jesus as Lord at his birth, but a time is coming when everyone, irrespective of background or position in life, they're going to take a knee. Everyone will confess that Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Christmas is also a time when we remember that God sent his only begotten Son into the world to save us from those sins, and his glorious name, Jesus Christ, declares that eternal truth that will never change. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because of all of this and so much more, we can say today without doubt, truly, the Messiah has come.